Hi,
I'm Abby.
And I'm Danielle.
And this is Piping Hot from the Parks. How are you this week?
I'm pretty good. We are back.
Yes, we are. I mean, we haven't really been gone. No one knows that we've been gone.
No, and we just saw each other like
two days ago.
And we've been texting, so. Yes.
It's all for show.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the last time that we're going to get to talk about this for a really long time. So, spoilers for the season finale of The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah.
I lost my mind.
It was so good.
We were fed.
Just.
Oh, can we just talk about how beautiful Chris looked in that entire episode? I was like, what are they feeding him? Like, his hair looked so good.
Yeah, because there's been some episodes where his hair's been a little bit. It's like, I like the messy look.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's been some where it's like, somewhat.
Or if it's like, like parted, it's like whoop.
Yeah, like, it looks like forced messy and stuff instead of just like, I don't know.
Oh, he just looked so good.
He was in love.
He was in Paris. He was happy. Oh, okay. I have like little to say.
Yeah, just I'm really excited for the movie. I knew they had to have some kind of a special, like Christmas special or something coming, because, spoiler, the book ends with them, like, in the future. I'm pretty sure they're already engaged and stuff. So for this, I half expected for it to be, like, her turn, or when he went to, like, kiss her hand, like, it was gonna show an engagement ring or something. But it didn't. So I was like, okay, we had to sit through an entire wedding planning for Jeremiah, so give us like at least an engagement party.
Yeah. But, well, it was said that there's one more milestone.
Yeah.
That Belly has to go through. So, what other milestone could that be?
It's hard to like put my words together I'm happy. Like, I kind of wish we had spent a little less time in Cousins. Like, I felt like I liked that content there. I liked that storyline. It was also something, though, that I kind of wish had a little bit more time maybe in the last episode. Because it felt like we would get... And maybe that was the point. Jenny was definitely doing that on purpose. Like, it would just be like, oh, like, Conrad and Belly are having this really sweet moment. And then it would be like, Jeremiah's cooking back in Cousins.
A moment for the dress scene.
When
Dressed by Taylor Swift started playing, I knew it was all over. I mean, this man has been hungry for 5 years. He's been waiting. I was like... Anyway.
They were just so... And then the conversation after...
Was really important.
It was really important. I know, like, at first I was a little bit like, of course, like, this poor guy, he can't have, like, he can't just get something super easy. Like, poor Conrad, of course, he has to, like, basically get, you know, turned down again before he... But it was, like, because of the toxic relationship that Belly had with Jeremiah, and just because of, like, I loved the TikTok that you sent me, where it was just comparing the fact that it was very much, like, Jeremiah and Belly's relationship focus so much on Susanna and the house and their past.
Right, like what his mom would want and everything like that. Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily like all his fault for that. It was definitely like both of them contributing, I think, and also just grieving. And then she needed that moment for Conrad, like, when he asked if she's still alive. Like, oh, baby, no. Like...
I just think for Jeremiah and Belly, their relationship was a lot of, like, this is supposed to happen. This is our next step.
Like, they felt like they had to.
They felt like they had to for their mom, for their families, just for everything. Whereas, like, with Conrad, like, it's clearly always been about her and like her feelings, because even when they parted ways, like he said in the finale, he didn't want to drag her down in his grief, whereas Jeremiah was like, I needed you, where were you for me? Like, you needed to be there for me in my grief.
He felt abandoned, where Conrad was like, I need, like, and Conrad definitely internalizes stuff more, you can tell.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, like, he didn't, like he said. And I love the whole thing, too, where it's, like, it had to always be Conrad for Belly. Like, she's loved him since she was, like, 12.
Yeah.
Even when she didn't know exactly that it was love. Like, she just adored Conrad.
I mean, she's always adored Conrad. Yeah. Even before that.
And she, like, was so, like, super so little. He was always, wanted to ride a bike and stuff like that. Which, Benito, I liked you in the last episode. Him. You pissed me off calling Conrad the villain. And, like, I get, he was jealous.
He was jealous. He was a little jealous. He was just lashing out a little bit. He was just being a boy.
He fumbled Lola Tongue, and
yeah,
that's on him. So, like,
but not, honestly, not really on him, though, because we all know that Belly still wasn't over Conrad.
She wasn't going to choose him. No. But, I mean, but then, of course, like, Conrad,
that whole dinner party had me, like, losing my mind. Just the tension.
The tension.
And then the scene where she was blowing out her birthday candles and just, like, looking at him. Like, all of her birthdays, she has wished for Conrad Fisher. And there he is.
And there he is in, like,
the best he's ever looked. The best he's ever looked. In Paris with a life that she loves, too. Yeah.
Like, and, like, she found herself, because I've seen a lot of people complain, too, about the Paris timeline. And I do know, the first episode, there was a lot of time spent on her chasing that luggage air tag. Yes. But it was, like, Belly needed to find herself and be able to grow, and I think she did, and she's just, like, she needed that moment to herself, because she's just always had that pull towards cousins.
Yeah.
But it was almost, like, it was dragging her down. She needed to be able to break free.
She needed to do things without any strings attached.
Yeah.
Because there was always something that was prohibiting herself from, like, really doing whatever she wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, and similar with Conrad, he needed to
move away. That's why he went to California.
Even though for some reason people were so insanely mean to him about it. I will say I'm not completely sold on Denise and Jeremiah, just because I love Denise, and I like the maturity that Jeremiah is starting to show. I'm just like,
not everyone needs to be in love.
That would be like if Agnes and Conrad started out this season, like, oh yeah, they were dating and he broke up with her to go to his mother's memorial service, or he broke up with her before he went to Paris. So it was like, not everyone needs to be in a relationship, or if that was like something further down the road, sure, but I'm like, she's about to move, like,
yeah. I think that whenever there's a man and a woman, they can never just be friends, and it's like, although that a lot of times is the case in real life, there are also people who are just friends, who are guys and girls.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that they would just be one of them. I was seeing them more of like a brother-sister type relationship, like older sister, younger brother, like that kind of guidance. And then I knew it was going to cross over into romantic territory when they were standing outside of the house and things got a little awkward. And I was like, no, she's not supposed to do that.
Yeah, especially because, like, Jeremiah, so I'm like, if she had ended up with Steven, even though I 100% I love Steven and Taylor, like, they're one of my favorite relationships in the show, I think that if Steven had ended up with Taylor, I do think Denise would have been very, like, they would have been good together. Yeah. And but I was also glad that it was like, oh, like, let's just be friends. Like, there's really nothing there. We'll just be friends and business partners. But, like, I was actually afraid, too, that Adam and Laurel were, like, flirt. I was like, what's going on? Don't flirt.
Stay back.
Stop.
You guys already tried that. It didn't work out.
Yeah, no. No more. But, yeah, just so many moments in the finale when they were walking around the art museums and she's showing. And he, she was looking at all the art, and she was looking at his art. Like, he just kept looking at her.
The way that he looked at her the entire time that she was showing him around Paris, I was losing my mind.
Me too. I was like...
Okay, don't get it twisted. My fiancé treats me like a princess, and he loves me, but... I really want to show him the finale because I'm like, that's what yearning looks like. You better keep doing that for me.
Learn from Conrad. Learn from Conrad. Professor of urinology.
Right. Like, I'm like, babe, this is the blueprint.
Right.
This is the blueprint.
And yeah. I'm just a sucker for that. And then when they're walking around Paris, like, after her dinner, and she was like, looking at this, like, she said something about the stars look so beautiful tonight, and he looked at her, and he was like, yeah, I'm just like, ah! I'm a
it's sucker like, for that it's every like time. It's, like, borderline too cheesy, but it works, and it's yeah, fine.
Yeah, I eat up, and it depends, if that was Jeremiah, it wouldn't work.
I would be like, shut up.
And I just want to give a special shout-out to Chris, because...
He's phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. Like, the whole cast is. Like, yeah. There is no Belly without Lola, and I stand on that. Like, I cannot picture anyone else bringing this character to life and playing the very highs and lows of this character the way she has. Like, she's phenomenal. And then Christopher. Like, you brought Conrad to life. And then, like, Gavin, too. Like...
Yeah.
He did a good job.
He did a good job Jeremiah. Because he really made me hate him.
Yeah, and like that's good. Like that's yeah. good.
Yeah.
So and like it also was like believable at the end that he was kind of maturing.
Yeah.
So he did a great. Like the whole cast is phenomenal. I can't think of like anyone that would. I hope no. Cam Cameron comes back in the
in the movie.
In the movie.
Oh, did you see? Was it you who sent me the TikTok, or maybe I just saw it? But it was like. I think it may have just been a comment on something, talking about how, like, they didn't like the fact that Denise and Jer got mm-hmm. together. And then in the comments, it was like, yeah, like, in the movie, Cam Cameron and Agnes are going to be sitting next to each other, and then they're going to fall in love. It's like, every single time that a guy and a girl come into contact, it's like...
like, what's like going on at Cousins Beach?
I don't
like,
know. What's in the water?
What's in the water over there? Well, because even, like... Cam Cameron and Sky last season, yeah. like, they kind of were flirting, and then Cam Cameron's just gone. So, he's off whale watching. Yeah. But did you see, like, the TikTok or something? I don't know if I sent it to you. It may have been on Instagram that I saw it, actually. I'm not sure. But it was, like, during their Today Show interview yesterday... with the cast, and it was, like, them asking, so, when's the movie coming out? And Jenny Han's like, oh, like, 2026, and then Chris just kind of goes, like...
Yeah.
Like, it might be coming this year. They might have already shot it.
I don't think so, because I saw something else that said that she, in an interview, mm-hmm. she said that they haven't made it, and mm-hmm. that it's not coming out next year.
Yeah, well, that was the interview, I think.
Okay.
And, like, but he was kind of making a face, like...
Yeah.
Like, oh, like... I don't know, maybe he was just joking around.
I was taking that more as, like, it's coming out next year, we haven't even started shooting it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think that we're probably gonna have to wait a little bit, yeah. if I had to take
it. I want it to be good, so it's like, yeah. don't...
Take your time.
Take your time, if the actors need, like, a little bit of rest, yeah. go for it. I also loved what they did with... bringing the whole cast to Paris and making it look yeah. like they were shooting different scenes to throw everyone off. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are geniuses, because I know that was the whole thing where I'm, like, waiting, because I'm, like, I saw the leak of Jeremiah yeah. being in Paris, and I was, like... Mm-hmm.
That was on purpose.
He better not show up. But then it was, yeah. like, no, Jenny did that. She did also, like, with the leak of Conrad proposing to Belly in Paris, mm-hmm. where it was, like, okay... I just love that they did that, and they yeah. brought the whole cast. Just throw them off. So it was yeah. it was really nice.
I also liked how, because I know in the last episode I mentioned that I was afraid that there was going to be this whole goose chase of, like, Conrad and Belly, like, missing each other.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy. I think it was the perfect amount of build-up mm-hmm. to their relationship beginning again in that episode, because it was, like... Yes. he saw her and Benito get off the bike.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was a little bit of, like, oh, who's that guy? Yeah. Like, I don't know who that is. And then, but they, like, I was afraid that he wasn't going to, like, call her name. And then he was going to get discouraged and, like, leave.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that, like, they connected. She showed him around Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was this tension, but it wasn't too fast, but it wasn't too slow either.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Yeah.
Especially because I was like, there's going to be so much they have to pack in this one episode. So I'm glad it didn't feel really all that rushed. I wish we had gotten more. But it's also something too, like, especially now, like, of course, all the edits are coming out. And it's so sweet. Like, even though we didn't get, like, multiple episodes of them being together now, it's like they've just always had, they had, like, an invisible string.
Yes.
Like, they've always... Can we talk about their conversation again where he says, like, I changed pretty much every part of me.
Yeah, but loving you has not changed. Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, poor guy, he can't catch a break. Of course, they're like, no, we're going to make Conrad cry in this episode, too.
I know.
You thought he was getting off easy?
Right. I just think it solidifies, I think, the reason why I like him so much. Because I get now why he acted the way that he did in season two, but, like, I was, like, annoyed, like, irritated, but I think that the reason I was able to forgive him so fast is because they showed that, like, he, first of all, was going through all this grief, but second of all, like, they really softened his character, and I love that. Like, there's, like, almost an innocence surrounding his character in season three of just, like, this, like, new guy.
Yeah.
And all he can do is, like, be sweet. And this is, like, I had a little bit of, like, secondhand embarrassment during this scene, but when they were dancing and she was talking about prom, and she was like, yeah, that's not the way that I thought it was gonna end. I thought we were gonna go home. And then he goes, make love. And she goes, yes, Conrad, have sex. And I just think, like, I was like, oh gosh, that's so embarrassing. But at the same time, like, I think it solidifies the fact that, like, he has this almost innocence about him where, like, it's not, like, all about the physical stuff. It's, like, so emotional to him. And, like, he really, really cares about her. And I just thought that, like, even in that little kind of awkward line, like, it was very apparent.
Yeah, it's, yeah, because, I mean, and I also personally think, like, some of the stuff earlier on where they're like, oh, like, he's changed this summer, like, in the first season and stuff, I kind of, which I know that it's a very realistic portrayal of, like, someone struggling with their mental health, where it does get brushed off as them just being grumpy or whatever, but it's also, like, I think now Belly would be more aware, but, like, that time Belly, everyone else in the family was just being like, oh yeah, he was just really grumpy. And even after they knew that, you know, his mom is dying, it was just like, yeah, he's just being angsty and stuff. It's like, no, maybe check on your child. And it's stuff like that. So it's like, I think now Belly, if something like that were to happen, she would understand and be a little bit more aware. But also at that time, like, she's, like, what, 16?
Yeah, they were kids.
They were kids. So, like, she's only hearing everyone else be like, oh, he's just being grumpy, or he's just not replying and stuff like that. And so, like, she wouldn't necessarily, like, know to check in and stuff like that. So with some of the portrayal of her, how she saw him, too, it wasn't necessarily, I don't know where, I hope this was making sense. Basically, everyone treating him poorly because of his struggles with mental health, I don't blame Belly necessarily for not seeing it as a struggle with mental health, because everyone else was also just brushing it off.
The last thing I want to say is that Lola Tung looks so good in that yellow dress.
She did.
She really did.
There's so many shots in that show where I'm just like, she's so gorgeous.
She is. And I think this last episode, she just really looked so grown up.
She was glowing.
And I, like, was like, with the haircut, she looked... Going back to, like, Belly, she looked so much like her mom.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the casting is crazy here.
Yeah.
Because they look so alike, especially mm-hmm. with her hair like that. But I don't know. Yeah. She looked, I mean, she always looked really good, but like, she looked really good this episode.
And the lipstick.
I know.
And
I
was like her in the, her dinner dress too. Like,
I know.
Both of them looking across at each other at that birthday cake. I'm like, you guys are both like gorgeous people. Like,
stunning. No so, notes.
Yeah, very good finale. Like, mm-hmm. amazing. I'm gonna be, like, it's so sad. It's like my
what
hobby.
Am I gonna
like,
do?
Yeah, I'm like, I guess I'm gonna rewatch it.
Yeah. I've got some other shows lined up.
Same. I'm like, I wanna rewatch this, but I also think I'm gonna give myself a little bit of a break. And then, of course, we got the movie, which mm-hmm. I hope it comes to theaters, because I think that'd be a really fun thing. But if not, like, we'll just be able to do watch and stuff
yeah.
for the premiere, but mm-hmm. I'm very excited. It's very sad to see it end, but I mean, Chris already has all these ads and stuff lined up. He'll be booked and busy.
They all will.
They
I'm
all
sure they'll
will.
All be fine.
I mean, Lola's been on Broadway.
Yeah, Gavin's doing some Thriller things.
Yeah,
so.
And he's got ads and stuff. He had that Duncan ad. So it's like they're booked and
they're
busy.
Fine.
As they should be. They're very talented.
We're just gonna miss the show.
We're going to miss the show.
But that's all that we have to say about that, because,
yeah,
oh
we've
my.
We've got
to
move on.
So, Disney stuff.
Disney.
What do you have for us today?
So, today we were going to talk about D23, which this is a couple of weeks old, but definitely still relevant. Because there was a lot. We actually, it felt like a quieter D23 than what we normally have.
I did not hear a lot about it at all.
Yeah, I feel like it was just like, they made a lot of announcements last year regarding the park and stuff, and then this year just felt a lot calmer.
Like, if I'm gonna be honest, I didn't even realize that happened until after it happened, because I didn't see anything about it.
Yeah, I think the only reason I knew it was happening was because it was gonna be here this year in Florida, and also because they had Cuscotopia. A Typhoon Lagoon, which I would have loved to go to, because Emperor's New Groove is one of my favorites. But one of the biggest ones that I'm really excited about is that the castle's going to be painted back to its original colors.
Yay!
Which, I'm not a hater of the new colors. At first, it was not great, but it definitely needed to fade in the sun, and I think that they planned that out well. But I don't hate the new colors, but I'm also very much, like, a classic, like, it looks like Sleeping Beauty's castle in Disneyland, and I think we need to make sure that we're different, because it's a different kingdom. It needs to be Cinderella's castle.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Me too. I'm very partial to the OG, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next one, it's just kind of stuff all over the place, like, the World of Frozen is coming to Disneyland Paris, which is very exciting. I will probably not be going anytime soon. But that is exciting for them. I think.
What, you mean you're not going to move to Paris and live your life there?
And then...
And then have your long-lost love come and meet you there and
chase me down.
Happily ever after, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe.
Maybe. That would be nice. So that's coming in 2026. And they just kind of talked a little bit also about the new details about Villains Land coming. So it says it's going to be inspired by Art Nouveau architecture from the 1800s. Please don't make fun of me. Disney legend and former animator Andreas Deja, I hope I pronounced that right, who is best known for bringing to life some of the most evil Disney villains, including Gaston and Jafar. He's consulting on the project, so that's super exciting. And it says that they're just going to be focusing on the characters' big personalities, bold visuals, and rich backgrounds to influence the overall ambiance and guest experience. I'm very excited for Villains Land. I think it'll be interesting to see how they make it fit behind Thunder Mountain, but I'm not going to pass judgment too soon. Like, I'll wait till it comes out. It's supposed to be, like, I don't know. We'll see. The next one, of course, which this one was a little bit of a bigger news, too. It's about the Walt Disney animatronic. They're going to be redoing Carousel of Progress. Not completely redoing. It's going to be the same thing. I think they're just updating some of the animatronics and making the intro scene, kind of the introductory entrance scene have actually Walt Disney present Carousel of Progress. It's really cool because I love Carousel of Progress. And I think it'd be really cool to have Walt Disney animatronic, not the actual Walt Disney, present.
Well, it's similar to the thing that they have in Disneyland, mm-hmm. right, with the animatronic.
Yeah. This one has already started, but the some of the other stuff is that they're doing, like, a Tron Ares overlay for Light Cycle Run, which is very exciting. I did watch it. They actually did change, like, some of the audio even, because I thought it was just going to be the lights.
Me too.
Even, like, the kind of narration and stuff is different, which is cool because I thought it was like, oh, they're just going to make it
right. Like, ooh, big changes, guys.
When they were like, oh, this is, I'm like, you're just changing the lights. Okay. It also said that for Hong Kong Disneyland, a new restaurant inspired by Moana is going to be coming to Hong Kong, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they're also going to have like a Disney villain, kind of like a cavalcade, street show, and musical spectacle. It's called Uninvited, a Villain's Takeover Party. After being uninvited from yet another royal gathering, Maleficent decides to stir up some fun of her own and goads the invited guests to call forth her uninvited counterparts. I mean, Disneyland Hong Kong gets a lot of stuff. And of course, all the movies that we have, like Toy Story 5 coming out next year, Pixar's Hoppers, Gato in 2020, which I'm excited because I think that's going to be 2D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Slay.
Yeah, which, I mean, I
miss that style.
I like the 3D. I like the things that can be done with the 3D, but you can't beat, like, the 2D style.
No.
I think a lot of the movies that kind of add something to, like, even though I know Wish was not super popular, I do think that they did kind of add a little bit to the animation and just make it, like, where it wasn't just 3D. It almost seemed like hand-drawn in some parts. And then, of course, you got, like, Spider-Verse, which completely is changing that animation style. And, like, the Mutant Mayhem, they definitely changed that style. I like seeing the different types of animation we can mm-hmm. have now instead of just, like, don't make everything look the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that we have for like we said, it was a very quiet D23.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, because I think last year we had, like, Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Like, all that
stuff
was
very
big.
Enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Of course.
So, we're doing something a little different for my portion. I don't have a Reddit story for you guys today, but I did send you a video on TikTok, and I want you to watch it.
I'm excited. I, like, purposely did not open it or anything. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
I saw a Disney influencer in the wild at Hollywood Studios the other day. That wasn't the problem. Like, I'm doing the same thing, you know? You go get those views, girl. But what really got me is she's holding the phone up in the air, and she's spinning around. Crowded area, mind you. Right down the main street in Hollywood Studios. And she's twirling around, and she's smiling. Whatever, fine. I watch her turn to her left. There's nobody there. Turn to her left and pretend she had a fan. Pretend that somebody came up to her and she goes, thank you so much. Thank you, have a good day. I would put money on the fact that she is gonna put sound over that video of some kind, mute the original audio, so that you can't actually hear that there is nobody next to her. I watched it live and in person and my jaw hit the floor. And before you ask me, I don't know who it was. I don't know if she actually posted. I don't know who she was. So even if you guess, I'm not going to be able to know. Like, I don't know her. And that's not even me being, like, a type of way, being like, oh, she's not famous, whatever. It's like, I genuinely just didn't recognize her. She didn't have, like, a norm, like a face that I'd recognize. But I've just never seen anything like that. It, like, sometimes I'm making videos and I'm, like, embarrassed or, like, shy. And I'm, like, making videos at the worst angle possible. So you're seeing me like this. You're seeing my hairline not there. And I'm like, let's go get the Eminem trash can. Never in my life would I pretend to have a fan next to it. Like, that, it took me to another world. And I think this is why people hate Disney influencers in person.
That's crazy.
I saw a Disney influencer in the wild.
Yeah. So that was a guy on TikTok. His name is Peter.
I've seen a couple of his videos. Yeah. I really like his content.
I like his content. And I saw that back in May. So it's kind of old. I saved it and then I forgot about it. But I was like, wait, we never talked about this. So I just wanted to hear your initial reactions.
I honestly feel bad for her that, like, she feels the need to do that. Uh-huh. Like, girl, just have fun at Disney.
Right.
You know? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, as someone who makes Disney content, I am close to 4,000 followers on TikTok now. So
we're flex.
Yeah, no. We're slowly making our way up the ladder. But, and I honestly, like, partially the reason why I don't have more is because I've been slacking lately, but don't kill me. I'm planning for a wedding and grad school.
She's a busy girl.
I'm a busy girl.
She's trying her best.
More content out this weekend, a little self-plug. But as someone who does that stuff, I just, there's a difference. So you really have to fake it till you make it in this industry. And we do. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys are listening to this right now. It could be 10 people, it could be no people, it could be 100 people. Like, we do this every week, pretending in some capacity right now because we're still just starting out, pretending like we're talking to a bunch of people, pretending that people want to listen to us. So I understand the aspect of faking it until you make it in this industry, because with this podcast, as well as with my content, especially when I didn't have any followers, I made vlogs as if I was talking to someone or, like, a large following, right? You have to do that. You have to pretend that people care about your content, because if you make content and it's obvious that you feel like no one cares, then no one's gonna care. You have to make stuff that makes it seem like people care, because then people will find it interesting and people will care. But that, like, pretending that someone is coming up to you in the park, I think is a little bit over the top. I think that it's not necessary. I do feel bad that she feels like she needs to do that, but, like, I don't think I've ever had anyone come up to me and say, hi, I'm not that big. Like, I've made friends over social media. So, like, people that I follow mutually, like, I have, like, seen and been like, hey, like, how's it going? But, like, I would personally never make a video. I mean, and like he said, like Peter said, I'm also just, like, really shy when it comes to filming. So, like, yes, do I make videos with my phone like this and I'm walking around? But I really have to, like, hype myself up to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would, A, have the courage to pretend that someone was coming up to me. But, B, I just don't think it's necessary. And at the end of the day, like, unfortunately, there's a bunch of people around you and someone's probably gonna see it. And then the jig is up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very thankful he didn't, like, recognize her and call her out or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just can't imagine someone seeing me do that.
No. And, like you said, like, it's sad that she feels like she needs to do that. I'm sure that it was for views, because all of the advice out there when you're, again, trying to grow your following and do all this stuff, everyone is like, you need to pretend. You need to put on a show until it's no longer acting anymore. Mm-hmm. And another example is when I first started making Disney content, it was a lot about just, like, outfits, mostly, like, outfit inspo and stuff like that. A little bit of, like, vlogs here or there. But then I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gluten-free. And, like, that is a big audience that I could cater to, especially because there's such a big gluten-free community in the Disney community. Mm-hmm. It's such a big part of it. And so I was like, I'm going to make content about Disney gluten-free food recommendations. The first video that I made did not blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, man, like, I thought that more people would like this, because before I started doing Disney stuff, all of my content was about food. So whoever is following me is either there for food content or for Disney content or for both, you know? So I was like, gosh, I really thought like this would be my niche, you know? Now it's my niche, but I had to work for it, right? Yeah. Like I had to pretend that like people cared about my videos, and now I'm having people ask me for recommendations. Mm-hmm. I'm having people ask me to make more videos on like, what should I eat during this time? What should I eat at this party? Like, what are your favorite gluten-free desserts at resorts? Like, mm-hmm. I'm getting questions now. I had to pretend that people were asking me these questions beforehand, mm-hmm. but I'm getting these questions now. And so I understand, like, to an extent why she is right. doing this, yeah. but I think that's taking it a little bit too far.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I totally agree, like, especially if you don't let yourself get comfortable in front of a camera and you aren't, like you said, like at the very beginning, if you are very much downplaying your content and everything, you're never going to get comfortable, or it's going to take you longer to get comfortable once you do get a following.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. 100%. And even just to get a following, like, I'm guilty of this too. Like, when I see a video and it's like not well made, mm-hmm. or it's obvious that like the person is not putting a lot of effort into making the video that they're making, I scroll right past it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when someone's like, hey guys, come with me on a blah blah blah, and like they're very confident about what they're making, or yeah. like, hi, pin opening, like when people are like, this is what I'm doing and you're interested in it, yeah. then I'm like, yeah, I'm interested in yeah. it. Heck yeah.
You're so right.
You're right. I am interested in this. But when it's like, hey, or like when it's just like a video, I've learned that like either talking in the videos like in real time or mm-hmm. having a voiceover is really important because it makes it more personal and yeah. it makes it look like you know what you're doing and that it makes it more interesting. It makes people want to watch you. And so like when I used to make vlogs, and I still do this from time to time because I think there's a place for this kind of mm-hmm. video, but like all of my vlogs used to just be like little snips of like my day with some music behind it. Mm-hmm. And like now when I see that stuff, like if it's really well made, obviously, mm-hmm. like there's some people who take out their like professional cameras and like they're more photography or like videography based mm-hmm. accounts. So like, yeah, I'll watch that. Yeah. But like when it's just like, you know, like a small creator and like it's like I will admit I'm just not as interested in watching that stuff because it almost seems like they just don't have confidence in what they're making. Mm-hmm. So like all this to say, like I understand probably what her thought process was
yeah.
when she was doing that in the parks, but do I think it's necessary and do I think it's kind of silly? Yeah,
a little silly. So. Yeah, 100%. I agree.
Yeah, but that's all I have today. We wanted to make it kind of short. We're doing a couple more mini episodes mm-hmm. Over the next couple of weeks, but our next big episode will be not this next week, but the next week after that, we'll mm-hmm. be talking about Food and Wine Festival, yes. because hopefully at that point, both of us have gone. I'm going literally tomorrow when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I've already gone once this episode comes out, but when we're recording this, I'm going tomorrow. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. There are so many gluten-free options this year.
Many.
I'm so stoked, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Everything looks so good. So that will be our next like big episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode last week about Halloween Horror Nights, because yes. that was our big episode. I feel like we're probably gonna do something where we have a couple little episodes and then we have a big episode, yeah. and like that's kind of how it's gonna work out going forward, most yeah. likely. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, 'cause it gives us a little bit like more flexibility on recording more at one time, especially like mm-hmm. with our busy schedules.
Yeah.
But also make sure that we can, like, plan ahead for, like, a really big one.
Right.
And find, like, smaller stories for in between.
Because we don't want to leave you guys hanging some weeks, but sometimes there's just not that much to talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of, like, what our thought process is. We're letting you in on, like, the little behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. details, so...
So thank you so much for listening and tuning in, listening to us yap and everything. We have a lot of fun making these for you. We do have a Google form that you can fill out if you have any, opinions or tips based on what we've already talked about, or even just if you had a random experience at Disney or Universal or something like that in the last couple weeks, we want to hear about it and we'll discuss it on the podcast. The Google form can be found in the link in our episode description. And you can also email us at pipinghotfromtheparks@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. You can also DM us on Instagram or TikTok. We love sharing your stories and we want to grow and build the community to where we eventually get to do Reddit stories and stuff like that, but also get to share anonymously if you want your stories and your tips and tricks.
Yeah, of course. And then if you want to follow us on social media, we are Piping Hot from the Parks. Just look us up on TikTok and Instagram and you'll be able to find us there. We post every week about the videos, as well as just some sneak peeks on what our episodes are going to be like. And then if you want to follow me personally, you can follow me at Abby's Magical Mems on Instagram and TikTok.
You can follow me at @Dreamer_Danielle_ on Instagram. You can also rate our podcast 5 stars anywhere you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, and then follow us on YouTube as well. Subscribe mm-hmm. to us and like, please.
Yes, and like, please. We are a little bit more sporadic when it comes mm-hmm. to posting the YouTube videos. We're still working out the kinks on that part,
mm-hmm.
but... still subscribe because you know, why not, like, help a girl out, you know. And you can see our pretty faces instead of just hearing our voices. So if you're interested in that, like Danielle said, go check out our YouTube. That is all that we have for this episode today. Stay magical. Bye.